Well, good morning. So good to be with you all today. I've got a really tough question for you all to start. How many of us are or have ever been a parent? All right, keep those hands up. Be proud. I'm a parent. Now, if you've ever or are the child of a parent, go ahead and raise your hands too. All right, if you're not sure, see me afterward. We'll talk about it. Thanks, Chuck. You can put that hand down. Chuck's proud. I'm a child. This message today, it's for all of us. As we look into God's word, as we look at the fifth commandment, to honor your father and your mother. And for us as a church, in all of our years, I can't recall a time when it's been so uniquely applicable to us as a people. To have so many families that are present here with multiple generations. To have, honestly, so many of an older generation that are worthy of being honored. And to have so many children that are in a life stage where they have the opportunity to extend and to practice this commandment to honor their parents. But as straightforward as it might seem to honor our father and mother, it seems pretty simple of what that is. It might be a straightforward command. We live in a world that's marred with sin, don't we? We live in a world that is marked by much dishonor. And dishonor seems to be, in some ways, the new language of today. It seems to be what we strive to do, not just in our relationships and politics and our workplaces, but oftentimes, even with our own families, we can see that dishonor has become, in some ways, the new norm. And it's hard for us to apply this in some ways. And for me personally, if I'm honest, I've struggled with this idea over the years of honoring my father and mother. Honor and dishonor has become quite a journey for me over the years. Because as a kid, I learned that my job as a kid in my household was really to stay out of the way. Don't cause any problems, whether it's school night, whether it's summer, whether it's winter, whether it's the weekend, whether family is over or not. So my job was to stay out of the way and to not cause trouble. And I learned this, and as I began to develop this idea in my head in my early teenage years, it really began to grow on me, and I began to master the craft of not getting in trouble. Is anybody really good at not getting in trouble? Like, you found creative ways to get out of trouble. For me, I took this on as a mission in life. And I would do just about anything to not get in trouble. I would hide things that I was doing. I would sneak around. And if I would ever get caught, any guesses as to what I would do? Blame it on my sisters, of course. Yes, it's always the sisters' fault. I would deny. Because if I denied it, and if I denied it enough, certainly people would believe me. And after all, if you don't admit that you've done something, in my messed up head, certainly you didn't do anything wrong. And if you didn't do anything wrong, certainly you can't be punished for it. And in my early teenage years, this was really part of what I had become and how I really interacted with my parents. I'm never admitting that I had done anything wrong, and certainly finding new and creative ways to do wrong things was some markers of my life. But in my later teenage years, as God began to get a hold of my heart and my life, I began to realize what is obvious to us now. Lying, hiding, and sneaking wasn't what God was asking of me. God was asking something much more. He wanted me to be a truthful person, an upfront person, and he wanted me to be a person that learned and lived out his ways among my friends and even among my family. As I got into my young adult years, and this is when I think things began to come a little bit off the rails for me in this journey, As I left home, I began to realize for the first time that my family wasn't the perfect nuclear family. Did anyone realize this when they left home? Like, wow, my family's got some dysfunction. Anybody else's family got dysfunction? Most everyone's family's got it. And if you've got the perfect family, man, let us know the formula. I want to be that perfect family. But I realized my family wasn't as perfect as I thought. I began to realize that my family's got some skeletons in the closet. There are some things that had happened over the years in my immediate family that I didn't know. I'm not sure I wanted to know, but I began to realize them. And for generations even before, there were things that had happened in my family. And that my parents, they didn't always discipline me in my younger years in very positive, healthy ways. My grandparents, my aunts, my uncles, my cousins, they weren't also the perfect image of what I could imagine a perfect aunt or uncle or grandparent to be. I began to see that people could be better. Families could be better. My parents could be better. And doggone it, I was going to be better. I was going to fix this problem in my family. And if you add some good aspirations and an unhealthy dose of youthful arrogance, which I had plenty, you have the makings of a path that is going to be marred by dishonor in your future. It was me. I began to argue much with my parents, and to my surprise, they weren't all that excited about sitting at my feet and learning how to live life and what they should believe, how they weren't following Scripture. And it did not result in what I thought was going to happen was repentance and fixing all of our family. It led to the opposite. It led to many heated arguments with both of us firmly standing in our own camps, unwilling to move. Words were spoken, hurtful things were said. And this would have been over years of time. I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed at some points, but I kept battering my head against this door, thinking that it was my job to fix it. And we had many family dinners over many holidays that were miserable because of arguments, debates, and what I finally began to realize was much dishonor from me. My job wasn't to correct or fix my parents. Kids, children, our job is not to fix our parents. Our job is to honor them. And it seems so simple, but for me, this was a hard pill to swallow. I had to realize that the way that I was living, the way that I was speaking to them, treating them, talking about them, was not honoring. It was dishonoring. But what do you do when there's so much hurt, when there's so much dysfunction, which today I'm sure many of you can identify with? My hope today is that we can look at God's word together and discover some ways that we can honor our parents, no matter our station in life, no matter their ability to be honorable. So before we look at God's word, let's pray together. Father, indeed, we are desperate people in need of a Savior. God, we recognize fully that our lives are marred by sin. God, that our flesh desires to do things that are contrary to your way and to your word and to your character. We acknowledge today that in the past and maybe even today, maybe even this morning on our way here, we have messed this up and we have brought dishonor. We have dishonored our family, dishonored our parents. So, Father, today we ask that some of those who are here that might need encouragement, God, that are struggling to find ways to honor, maybe they're tired, as honoring at times is difficult as their parents age. God, that you might encourage them. God, for those of us that need challenged, where we are, instead of honoring, we are dishonoring our moms and dads. God, that you would challenge us. God, that you would not just change our behavior, but God, that you would change our hearts. God, that there would truly be a transformation by the renewing of our minds. God, that we would see differently, believe differently, and then because of that, God, that we would act differently. May we be a people that honor our father and mother well. It's in Christ's name we ask all of these things. Amen. So today we find ourselves in a series as we're going through the book of Exodus, and we have seen what was going on with the children as they were enslaved in Egypt for hundreds of years. We have seen God do miraculous things as the plagues were brought, and God rescued his people out of the hand of the Egyptians. We've seen them leave Egypt. We've seen, even as they were leaving, God do the miraculous and rescue them in the sea. We've seen him provide miraculously for them with food and water. We've seen him be patient with them. And he's beginning to teach them his ways. He's beginning to teach them that he is their God and no other. And as we get to this passage in Exodus chapter 20, there's a slight change that's beginning to happen. Because in the first four commandments, which we've done in previous weeks, those were focused primarily on the great commandment part, which is to love God with all that we are. How we are to treat, believe about, think about, and worship the Lord. And today the transition goes to the second part of the greatest commandment, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's also, as we look at verse 12 in particular, it's also one of two positive verses in the commandments. All of the other commandments, except for last week, which was to keep and remember the Sabbath, all of the others, except for these 2 weeks, are posted in a negative way of do not do these things. But here we get a positive challenge, a positive commandment for us. So I want us to go back into Exodus 20 and verse 1 so we can read through real quickly so we can see the transition that's happening here into to love your neighbor as yourself. So in Exodus 20 and verse 1, it says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Love God. In verse 12, we'll look at this today. "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that your Lord, that the Lord your God has given you." For us today, it seems rather simple. Honor your parents. Thanks. Have a nice day. But if we're going to follow this commandment, I think we need to begin to understand what honor is and how it's different than dishonor in many ways. The word itself, honor, it carries certainly the meaning that there's respect that is given, but also something that brings this idea of it's heavy, it's weighty. So a heavy or weighty respect, to be sure, is the idea behind this word. And for us, it's honor is something that is given. It's not necessarily something that is earned. And who do we honor? We're reminded in Scripture and in Genesis that we're to honor those that are created in the image of God. We're reminded in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, it says, honor the emperor. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, that we are to honor those in places of God-ordained authority, both inside and outside of the church. This is hard for us, isn't it? Especially if we've experienced this really over the last 4 or 5 years. How do we honor a government or a politician or someone that is an authority that maybe isn't worthy of honor? Do we really have to do what they ask us to do? But Scripture tells us to honor people who are in place where God has put them. We're reminded here in Exodus 20 that we're to honor our parents. We see it again in Deuteronomy 5, in Matthew 15, Matthew 19, in Mark 7, in Mark 10, in Luke 18, and then again in Ephesians 6. You would think if something is mentioned that many times in Scripture, it's probably pretty important. We are reminded to honor our parents in all of these passages. We're reminded of the principle of honoring those that are weaker than us. In 1 Peter 3:7, it's talking to husbands. It says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. We're to honor those that might be in a weaker place or position than us. We're to honor them, not lord it over them, not add extra burden to them, but we're to honor those people. And in 1 Peter 2, again, 16 and then 17, it says, live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Verse 17, honor everyone. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Scripture calls us out in both the Old and the New Testament to honor, to be people of honor. But why would we do this? What is the principles that are behind all of this? First, for us to understand that God has established the family. This is what God has done. And he's also established the important role of our moms and our dads all throughout Scripture. And it's their job primarily to point their kids to him. He's done this on purpose. It's a reason for us to honor. We see this in Genesis when God established marriage and told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. We see in Deuteronomy 6 and in other places where the Lord gives parents the responsibilities to teach their kids about God and his ways. Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God has established the family as a means to point us as kids to him. We honor because of what God has established. And then in Proverbs 1, verse 8 and 9, hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and pendants for your neck. God desires for the family to be a place that teaches us as his kids about him. It's why we honor them. God has established it. We also honor our parents because, after all, they're the ones who gave us life. We're reminded in Proverbs 23, listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Teenagers, listen to your father who gave you life. listen to your dads. Your dads, they are not perfect. I'm pretty sure we could get all of us as dads up here on stage and ask one by one, how many of you are perfect? And not one of them, not one, would say, yep, that's me, son. That's me, daughter. Listen to me. I am perfect in all things and all ways. They're not. We're not. But listen to your father because he's the one who gave you life. And don't despise your mother when she's old. Why does it say that? Don't despise your mother when she's old. For those that have experienced both the joy and opportunity and the challenge of caring for their parents when they're old, you know what this means. Sometimes our moms and our dads, for that matter, they can be frustrating when they get old. Amen? Sometimes we're like, who in the world are you? Why would you say that? Sometimes, unfortunately, the reality of life is they begin to lose some of their sanity. They begin to think things that aren't real or aren't there. They see things that aren't there. Sometimes they don't remember a conversation that was had even 30 seconds ago. Sometimes they don't remember us. Don't despise your mother when she is old. We're also called to honor because we're called to live a life of serving. We're called to be people who go last. We're called to be people who honor. If we live a life of accumulating, we miss the point of this commandment. And the ones that are to follow in the verses to come, we're called to follow Jesus. We're called to live like Jesus. We're called to lay our lives down for our brothers, for our sisters, for our families. We're called to do things like serve the poor, the imprisoned, to serve the downcast and the despised. We're called to be like Jesus and go to people who are dirty, that are despised, people who are diseased, and we're called to go to people like the little children. We're called to be like Jesus. Jesus honored people. We're not called to be a position. We're not called to a position as God's people. We're called to servitude. And why is that? Because we follow Jesus. It's what he has done for us. And if we look at Philippians, and yes, I know, there's lots of verses here. Feel free to write them down, and I can give you them later. But if you look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 7, it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men." We're called to be people who honor. We do that both by our hearts and the way that we see things as well as by our actions. We don't do it just out of obligation. We should do it out of love. Some other ways of how we can honor. For children, it's clear. Scripture calls us to obey our parents, right? All of our elementary students in the room, not standing up and cheering. We're called to obey our parents. In Ephesians 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother." This is the first commandment with a promise, "that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." For young adults, for young as well as adult children, honoring primarily has to do with attitude, not specifically obedience. Although for children, young children, is obedience. We're to do things like listen. In Proverbs 23, we looked at it earlier. Listen to your father. Listen. Listen to your parents. Listen to your father who gave you life, and don't despise your mother. We're to provide for them and care for them. In 1 Timothy 5:8, But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. I remember when I read this verse years ago and began to think about it, like, wow, that's powerful. If anyone doesn't provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he's denied the faith. We can see all throughout Scripture, especially the importance of caring for those in our family that are widows. It is our job as kids to be able to do that for our moms, to care for them, provide for them. We can also forgive them. In Ephesians 4 and 32, it says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." When you begin to think, for those of us that might have some dysfunction and maybe a significant amount of dysfunction, maybe it's not just been dysfunction, but it's been off the rails. Maybe you've experienced neglect or abuse at the hands of your parents. We can forgive them. God calls us to be people who forgive. We can also be patient with them. In Ephesians 4, verse 2, it says, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." And certainly many of these verses were called to do these things as believers, especially as the church. But certainly I think we can extend them to our families. With all humility and gentleness. I can tell you, in my young adult years, I'm not sure there was much of anything about me with my parents' relationship that had anything to do with all humility and gentleness. With patience, bearing with one another in love. We're to bear with them. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14, Paul writes, "And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." We can encourage them. We can help them. We can be patient with them. We can do good to them, and we can be thankful for them. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 1, it says, "Do not rebuke an older man." Has anybody rebuked an older man? Probably didn't go too well. Here it is. "Don't rebuke an older man. Instead, encourage him. Encourage him as you would a father." Younger men as brothers, for us to encourage as we would our father. To think of the times when we as children get frustrated with our parents. And hear me, I am in no way standing up here as somebody who gets a gold star for any of these things. But this is who God has called us to be as his people. He has called us to honor our parents. He's called us to be people who follow and live like Jesus. He has called us to be people to treat one another in these ways and to apply them to our parents, no matter our station in life, no matter who they are. He's called us. So what are some really practical ways that you might be able to honor your parents, in addition to these? You can spend time with them. You can just spend time with them. Most of the time, your parents are going to do most of the talking. Just spend time with them. Go over to their house. Invite them to yours. Go with them and do things that they like to do. Go to the grocery store with them. Spend time with them. Seek their advice or their counsel. Notice I did not say you have to agree with it. Seek it. Honor them by seeking their counsel. They may just know something that we don't. They may have experienced something that we haven't. They may have insight into us that we're too blind to see. We can honor them by seeking their counsel. We can listen to their stories. We can probably learn something from them. But to listen to what it is they have to say, we can be present with them. We can share our stories with them. We can talk to them about what God is doing in our lives. We can talk to them about what God's doing in our family, with our own kids. We can share the joys of our life with them. Because oftentimes, as our parents age, they're alone. They don't have work to go to. Their social lives are probably not very exciting. Some of them can't get out. And for us to spend time with them, to seek their counsel, to listen to their stories, and to share with them what God's doing. We can take an interest in what they enjoy. My dad, he enjoys shooting skeet or clay traps. And in his later life, my dad began to paint. My dad, I've never seen him paint. But he's actually pretty good at painting. Like, I actually would like a couple of his paintings. And he's got them all over his house. And each one of them, because my dad's a pretty sentimental fellow, which is shocking maybe for people that don't know him. He really is. He's got a story for each of the paintings as to why it's important to him. And he likes to tell me, and I think my kids, when they go over, or anyone who will listen, about how he learned different like brush strokes and different types of paint and how he blended this and that and all of these things of which I know nothing about. I don't like to paint. I don't like to paint on a canvas. I don't like to paint on a wall. I just don't like to paint. And I really don't know much about it. But in some ways, it's kind of fascinating that my dad in his latter years has taken this on almost as though he's been waiting his whole life to be able to do it. And now he is, and he's learning so much about all of these things and enjoying it. Take interest in what they enjoy. You could mow their lawn if you're old enough and if you mow in straight lines. My grandfather, he what's a good word? He was very specific into how things should be done. And my grandfather, when they moved 12 houses down from us in my latter elementary and my early teenage years, I would go down and spend time with him, and we would play cards, we would talk about the birds, we would eat a lot of apple butter on bread. As my grandmother canned and jarred lots of things. But I would mow the grass for him. And I didn't know how to mow. I didn't mow at my house, but I was supposed to mow at my grandfather's. And his yard, there was nothing square about his yard. You had gardens everywhere. You had flower beds everywhere. Some were edged with brick, some with a six-foot fence. Some were edged with river rock. And there was always something. But my grandfather insisted that the lines be straight. So for those of you who like to make fun of me, I come by it honestly. it was beat into me at an early age. But to be able to do simple tasks for them, you could send them a gift. I mean, who doesn't like a thoughtful handwritten card of somebody that's just caring for us? And here's a tough one, I think, for a lot of us. We can speak well of them when they're not present. It's so easy to talk about the things that we don't like, the things we're upset about or mad about. But we're called to be different, friends. We're called to honor our fathers and mothers. So what if they're the kind of people who don't really deserve honor? Those people exist, right? The truth of the matter is they exist, and there's really two types of honor in this discussion. We can honor people because of what they are and who they are, their position. We can honor them because of what they've earned, what they've done. And certainly we do that, right? By what they've achieved. And we can also, instead of just honoring people for what they've done and achieved, we can honor them and bestow honor upon them, even if they haven't deserved it. And hear me, especially for those that might have experienced neglect and abuse. I'm not saying that all of these things are for us to do today and tomorrow. Sometimes things are just really, really broken. It's the reality of the world we live in. But we can still honor people by forgiving them. We can honor people by praying for them. It's what we can do. And if we look at some of the implications of our honoring, we can see in the second part of Exodus 20 and verse 12. It says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. I mean, first, what a good reminder for the children of Israel that there's land. It's coming. And it's not just coming. I'm giving it to you now. We're in the process of it. You're not going to be wandering here in the wilderness forever. That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God has given you. And certainly there are some who debate whether this is a promise, that's something that is unconditional or conditional. Some would say that this is more like a proverb. It's a statement of truth, it's a principle or a sentiment. I tend to think the latter, that it's not, if you honor your father and mother, you're going to live a long time. We know just by reality, sometimes that doesn't happen. Sometimes we pass on early in life, even if we do honor our parents. We also know it's not an unconditional promise, because history's proven otherwise. We can see it. But we can see that there's a principle or a proverb here that says, when we choose to honor our parents, we teach our kids and those that are watching to do the same. And when we become old, they'll know what to do and honor us as well. So for those of us that are older, how have we honored our parents? Are we honoring our parents in the way that we want to be honored when we're struggling? When we're struggling with our mental capacities, when we can't get up to potentially even do things like use the restroom? Are we honoring our parents in their old age when they think that they're right all the time? Would we be happy with the way Would we be happy if our kids treated us the way we treat our parents? Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. When we look at the great commandment in Mark, we see a challenge for us all. In Mark 12, it says, and one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, which commandment is the most important of all? I mean, it's a great question, isn't it? Which one is the most important? I'd like to do that one. Verse 29, Jesus answered, the most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. It's the first four commandments in Exodus 20. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. we must all be people who love God with all that we are and love others as ourselves. For those of us here today that are parents and children, which we established earlier, it's all of us. For children, are you treating your parents in a way that you want to be treated when you're older? What can you change today to honor better? Maybe it's just one thing, to honor your mother and father better. Parents, are you living for the purpose for which you were created? Understand and know and grab a hold of the idea that even as you age, as long as you are here, as we are here on this earth, God is not finished with us. If you are alive and breathing today, which I assume everyone in the room is, I hope, He has plans for us. He's not done with us. He's not done with you. Strive to live in such a way that He's designed for you, even in your most difficult of days. As kids who care for their aging parents, it's so much easier to honor when our parents are living for the Lord, isn't it? We need to encourage that, inspire that within our parents. And parents, as long as you have the mental faculties to do so, strive. Strive to understand and do every day what God has for you. And for us all, let's strive to be people who honor. Who honor everyone, especially our parents. Find ways, no matter how simple or how difficult, to honor. It's what we're called as God's people to do. And for us, and for those of us today that might be struggling under the weight of this honoring at times, because sometimes it is, it's heavy. Taking care of aging parents, particularly in their latter days, it's heavy. It is worth doing. I want you to be encouraged. What you're doing is worth the sacrifice. Don't give up. It's worth it. God calls us to do it. Also, to let others come alongside and help. You don't have to do it alone. That's why God has given us one another. And keep going. Because you too will be honored in your old age as your kids and other generations, you've taught them what to do when you get older. Let's be people who honor. Let's find ways, even if it's one way, no matter how old we are, to honor our father and mother and to be people who are worthy of that honor in our older days. Let's pray as we close. Father, we are grateful today for your word. We're grateful for your grace. God, we know oftentimes we get it wrong. I know that is my story and testimony today. God, I miss the mark. And God, I'm grateful that you have given us so many examples in Scripture in ways that we can honor, in ways that we can love our neighbor as ourself, in ways that you have called us, given us the honor and privilege to honor our parents. Help us each, if only to find one way today that we could do that better, that it might be a way that we worship and serve you by honoring those who have brought us into this world. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.